Sorry about that there. I had to choose a new number to record it. So any provider, anyone else interested really would care to hear the information I'm about to give to you or any answers to questions we give, they'll be able to receive them on their own schedule. We do post meeting notes and the recordings of these calls on our provider landing page on the MLTC DHHS website. So I'd encourage you to go there, particularly if you'd like more details of things that I will talk about at a relatively high level on the call this morning. So first of all, I did want to review some guidance we've issued since our last call on June 2nd. And specifically, I'm going to go through three provider bulletins and my colleagues here, if there's anything that they would wish to add to what I'm about to tell you, I'd ask join in whenever they would like to do so. So the first I'd like to bring to your attention is Provider Bulletin 20-18, which is entitled the COVID-19 90-Day Bed Hold Update. And so in this particular bulletin, the issue we're discussing is when a resident of a nursing facility leaves the facility to quarantine in an alternate setting. It could be assisted living, it could be a pop-up facility such as a gymnasium or residential home belonging to a family member, etc. We have increased, during the duration of the emergency, we have increased the bed hold days up to 90 days. That's total of whether an alternative setting or so-called therapeutic leave to go of the relative's house. A total of up to 90 days. Bed hold will be allowed during the public health emergency. And the point of this, the purpose, is to be able to have the resident be able to return to their bed and not be discharged. It's important to note that if a facility temporarily fills bed, the payment for bed hold days will stop. However, the hold on the bed will remain for the duration of up to the 90 days. On Provider Bulletin 20-19, and that's entitled Annual Physical Requirements for Medicaid-Eligible Residents of Long-Term Care Nursing Facilities. What I want to point out in that one is federal regulations normally require that physicians occur every 30 days, first 90 days from the date of admission, and then every 60 days thereafter. During the COVID-19 public health emergency, it is permissible in Nebraska for telehealth to be used for any of these physician visits. In addition, also during the duration of the public health emergency, Nebraska Medicaid is waiving the annual physical exam requirement for Medicaid beneficiaries who live in long-term care nursing facilities. However, we did want to point out providers, of course, must still use their medical judgment to meet the specific care needs of long-term care nurse facility residents, and whose circumstances, of course, in some cases may still require face-to-face visits. And I want to clarify, as also noted in the Bulletin 20-19, that the allowance for telehealth and the waiver of the annual exam are effective as of March 1, 2020, and continue until the public health emergency is declared to be over. And of course, it has not been declared to be over at this point. If an annual physical exam is delayed due to the circumstances described that I've just described, the exam should be completed within 6 months following the end of the declared public health emergency. And then the final provider bulletin I want to bring to your attention today is 20-20, entitled Medicaid Provider Relief Funds from the Federal Government. And this is not being administered by DHHS, but just in case providers were not otherwise aware, we wanted to make you aware of this opportunity. And again, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services has decided it will be making an additional $15 billion available to Medicaid providers across the country affected by the pandemic. However, to be eligible, providers must not have received any money from the initial $50 billion in awards made to providers with some level of Medicare utilization. And let me stress the word Medicare there. Uh, Additionally, so you could not have received any funding from the Medicare utilization funding that CMS had put out relatively recently. The second requirement is to be able to bill from this new $15 billion allotment, a provider must have directly billed a state Medicaid program or Medicaid managed care plan between the dates inclusive of January 1, 2018 and May 31, 2020. I would encourage you, if you are at all curious or interested, to see if this is something for which you are eligible and indeed something for which you might be interested in applying, to go to our website and look specifically at Provider Bulletin 20-20, because included in that bulletin, we've included hyperlinks so you can click on and go to the various federal sites for the application, as well as the instructions and the portal through which the application would be submitted. The final thing I'll mention on this coin is awards for eligible providers. Federal HHS has indicated will be at least 2% of a provider's gross patient care revenues. And then the final amount of each award will be determined by the data that you will submit, which will include, by the way, the number of Medicaid patients served. I'm going to go ahead and move to some reminders and other updates. A reminder to you that the temporary waiver of prior authorization for the transfer of patients to certain facilities, which was set forth in our Provider Bulletin 20-11, expired effective May 31st, 2020. What that means is the following transfers again require prior authorization from June 1, 2020 and going forward. Post-acute LTAC, acute inpatient rehabilitation or skilled nursing facility, transfer to a new long-term care provider, and observation. Additionally, prior authorizations for elective surgeries and therapies that expire June 1 and forward will no longer receive an automatic 90-day extension. And if you would like further details on this, I'd refer you back to Provider Bulletin 20-11. I did want to give you an update on the status of federal authorities. We have received confirmation from the federal government that all of the additional flexibilities we sought in our second so-called 1135 submission to the federal government have been approved. And those specifically are allowing fee-for-service providers to extend pre-existing authorization through which a beneficiary has previously received prior authorization. It also extended minimum data set authorizations for nursing facility and skilled nursing facility resident. It modifies deadlines for OASIS and minimum data set assessments and transmission. Suspends the two-week aid supervision requirement by a registered nurse for home health agencies. And it suspends supervision of hospice aides by a registered nurse every 14 days for hospice agencies. I would encourage you, if these particularly affect your practice or business, I would encourage you to take a look at our submissions for the precise details, because I do want to stress that what I said this morning is a very high-level overview and does not include all the nuances and details. So if this does affect you, or if you're otherwise interested, I would encourage you to read the information that we have on our website in more detail. At this time, I'm looking up at the screen that shows our inbox, and I do not think I'm seeing any emails.
So we will pause for just a moment.
All right, we have not seen any emails come in, so at this point, Seeing no questions, I'll go ahead and end the call. And again, the next scheduled call is June 30. And at that point, by that point, we will let you know when the next call will occur. And like I have said before, likely it'll be July 21, and likely we'll be moving to an every month for the foreseeable future call with you. And I thank you very much for listening this morning, and thank you again for all you do for Nebraska. I hope you have a good day. Goodbye.